Lindy wanted me to talk a little bit on trading floors, so I will talk a little bit about it. Trading floors, in a positive sense, are places of covenant exchange. So when we enter into covenant with God, we exchange things like our sin for His righteousness. We encounter the cross. The cross is a trading floor. We come to the cross, we exchange our sin for forgiveness. So there's always an exchange when we walk through the figure of eight in the point of exchange. So that's the sort of the positive side of it. So you can exchange, for instance, someone says to you, "Oh, I thought you did a wonderful job doing this." And some people squirm. Don't squirm when someone praises you. Just receive the praise. Then, right, I'm going to go and trade that, because actually all that I'm doing is wanting to bring glory and honor to you. So God, I'm just going to come into your presence and I'm going to exchange, like casting your crowns before him. This is the illustration. So I'm going to come, I'm going to exchange all that praise for you because I want intimacy with you. It's not about me being praised. It's you getting honor and you glory, and you just exchange it. And then you get more intimacy because you've not taken anything that belongs to God, kept it for yourself. So it's just like financially, you can go and it's like, okay, we sow our offerings, whatever. Go and trade with them. I am bringing this offering to you so you can multiply it back to me. And there's lots of different positive ways of looking at it, but the negative ones are the stuff I've been going through recently. And the negative trading floors are very much to do with the motives and thoughts and intentions of our heart. Why we do certain things. And so what motivates us? Every one of us has built into us certain things which are needs, emotional needs, if you like, the need for love and acceptance, the need for affirmation, significance, the need for approval, the need for security and provision. So we've got these needs. God built them in so that we could get those things from Him in our relationship. So I don't, you know, if I'm getting the love of God, then actually that fills me up so much emotionally that I don't need to draw love out of someone else. I can give love to people out of what I've received from God rather than I need them to make me feel better. So it's like, in a marriage, if you're looking for your wife to love you or a husband to love you, and you're not giving them the love that you've got from God, you will suck them dry because they are not able to fill your emotional tank. They're not supposed to. They may top it up and make you feel nice, but they're not supposed to fill it. God is supposed to fill it. Satan offered to Adam and Eve, in exchange for their seed and their DNA, shortcuts. You can be like God. It was the first case of humanism. You can be like God. You don't need God. You can be like him, but you don't need him. You can know apart from God, rationalism. So he always offers shortcuts to the things that God wants us to have, but they don't come without cost. So the different trading floors that there are, and there's seven trading floors that I've personally experienced, but they're based on the fact of Satan offering us a shortcut, like he offered to Jesus, "Come and bow down before me, and you will have all the kingdoms of the earth." Well, they were his anyway, but he had to go to the cross to get them, not bow down and worship Satan. So he was offering him something, and he offered Adam and Eve something which they took up. So they exchanged and traded with him. And there's lots of trading that goes on. Satan initially traded in heaven. He was the first negative trader. He traded information as a covering cherub, because he covered the presence of God as a covering cherub, and that's where revelation comes from. He took that revelation and said, "I will be like God, and I will have my own kingdom," because everything he does is to counterfeit God. So he drew a third of the angels, which is, as I said, billions and billions and billions and trillions of angels, by offering them knowledge that he received as the covering cherub, and he seduced them with that knowledge. So he negatively traded something for position. That was the first negative trade in history. Then with Adam and Eve, it was the first one on earth. So what does Satan offer us? He offers us the ability to meet the needs that we have for love and acceptance, for affirmation and approval, for security and provision, for purpose and destiny. He offers us things to have those things without going through God, through our flesh. So we do them ourselves. So what are the trading floors? Well, first one is Tyre. The king of Tyre ransacked Jerusalem and took the temple gold and built a city, Tyre, as a trading empire. Ezekiel 28, you can read about it there, what he did. He was a trading empire. So he took the provision from God's temple and used it for his own ends. So the king of Tyre is always about financial things. So that can be a financial thing. So if you do not bring your tithe to the storehouse, effectively you're trading on Tyre's floor, because you are using the money which belongs to God, which was in the temple of God, for your own ends, for your own purposes. That's a very simple thing. There's lots of other things on there. Any form of materialism is negative trading on the Tyre floor. So if I am using material things to meet a spiritual need, then I'm actually trading negatively. Because Satan is offering me something to meet my emotional needs, which does not come through God. So that could be anything. Ladies, chocolate, handbags, shoes, anything you do, well, that makes me feel better temporarily, rather than actually my affirmation and how I feel good comes from my relationship with God, knowing I'm loved and accepted. Anything that we negatively trade, for men, can be boys' toys, cars, anything that we use to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. Possessions making us feel better. Anything material that meets a spiritual need is negative trading. There's loads of negative trading on the whole Tyre floor. Delilah is another trading floor. Seduction. So anything that offers us emotional needs to feel loved and accepted, for instance, men, pornography. It's an eroticized image which has no responsibility attached with it that the enemy offers us to feel good about ourselves. And it always comes with a trap and an attachment. Same thing with ladies, an eroticized image or romanticized image of a person, Mills and Boone things that you read, you can focus and look for, and actually you'll never find it because it's being offered to you. There's lots of different things that you can do. Any lust after something to meet a need, it can't meet that need. Bottom line is, the only way that we can be loved and accepted is through God and through a relationship with God. So he offers us things that temporarily make ourselves feel better, but actually trap us into patterns of sin. And that's part of the problem with trading. So there's loads and loads of things. Another one would be Leviathan, which is gossip and lies and deception. So the enemy offers us the ability to lie that will make other people think better of us. So we deceive people into thinking that we're more significant and more powerful or more than we are. So any form of exaggeration is negative trading. Why am I exaggerating? Because I want people to think more of me than is true. So I don't tell the whole truth. I exaggerate it. Now you might think, well, these are little petty little things. Actually, they aren't, because every one of them is actually me taking Satan's offer for temporary things, and they come with a trap. So any form of gossip, I gossip about someone, and what am I doing? I'm actually, if my motive of my heart, and it comes from the motives, you know, sometimes you can do things and they've got no negative motives at all. But actually, sometimes I could gossip about someone because actually I want someone else to think better about me rather than them. It's just sort of things that goes on. And there's a whole load of things with gossip and Leviathan and stuff, which is really quite nasty. Some of the other things, Jezebel is another trading floor. Jezebel was the king of Tyre's daughter. He was called Ikbal. Where is Baal? It's all about Baal worship and stuff. Jezebel ruled as the king, wife of Ahab, and she controlled religious systems. So she used manipulation, witchcraft, and control. So anything we use with Jezebel to alter our mood, to make ourselves feel better, becomes negative trading. So the word witchcraft in Greek is the word where we get our drugs from, pharmakia. So any drug taking, alcohol, things which we're using to alter our mood, to make ourselves feel better, more secure, anything else, to help block out pain, anything, is negative trading. Now, Jezebel operates a lot through control and, you know, through fear and manipulation. And so I found religious political systems operate through Jezebel. So in a previous church where I was an elder, I was offered almost a carrot to say, well, if you do this and this, well, you'll get a full-time position. And I bought into it. And it made me do some things. And I was used to go and confront people because there was this offer of stuff. And it was control and manipulation to control through it. But actually, I bought into it because it offered me something, a position that I knew God had called me to, but actually I was using my flesh to try and accomplish. And so there's lots of different things. I mean, on the teaching, I've got a little list of all of them. But another one would be Athaliah. Athaliah was Jezebel's daughter or daughter-in-law. There's a bit of confusion of whether one or the other. Athaliah was the king, I think, of Judah or Israel's wife. And she killed all the seed line to get political control. And that trading floor is about our future seed. So, in our kingdom. So, if we, for instance, say, I can't do that, we're trading on a negative floor because the word of God says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me strength. So if we're denying our destiny by negative things, by negative speech, by negative actions, we're actually trading on a wrong floor, and it can have a devastating effect because it's after our future in God. Yeah.
So,
how do you deal with it?
Yeah.
I'll explain how to deal with it. I just let me finish the different floors, give you some more illustrations. Yeah, some of the things like some of it's really subtle, and some of it's like, what is that? Is that the wrong motive in my heart? Am I desiring something from this? But there are things, you know, like within the sort of the whole lust thing, if I am using sex to make me feel better about myself rather than even in marriage than actually blessing my wife, actually that's negative trading because I'm using something illegitimately. And there's a whole lot of things around the motive of why we need certain things that we have to look at and observe. One of the other trading floors, let's see, there's seven of them. You know what they all are? I can't remember.
Five.
Apollyon is another one. Apollyon is the opposer of the gospel. So whenever we choose to, through fear or intimidation or embarrassment, not share the gospel with someone, we're trading negatively. And that's one which the enemy seeks to do because he opposes the gospel, so he will intimidate us. And because of our needs for acceptance, we may not say things, or our fear of rejection, we may not say things. And there's things like that, in that whole area. There's a load of different things there. What's the other trading floor?
I actually have no idea what they are.
All right.
I've been working through
revelation stuff.
When
yeah.
Speaking to me. Yeah. So that's why
right.
I knew.
Okay.
I know, and
sure.
I don't know what that's called, but
I
recognize.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to work from memory because yeah. I've got them all written down. I've got loads of examples of how they work. And some of them are very subtle, and some of them are just the motives of our heart. And it's like, okay, and I've had to go through this in my life. You know, in terms of Tyre, anything of stealing, cheating, tax dodging, anything that is trading on the wrong floor. Because it's taking an offer that will meet me my own provision. So anything that I'm trying to do to meet my own provision rather than trusting God will be trading on Tyre's floor. And there's a lot of stuff that I found there in my childhood and stuff, because you know, I wasn't brought up in a very necessarily rich home or anything, but it was like I did certain things, and it was like I can remember going to a shop to buy my mum a birthday present, and I went in the shop with a full intention to buy her a birthday present, and while I was there I noticed this model that was on the shop thing. Wow, I want it. And I can remember the thoughts that went through my mind: if you steal that birthday present, you can have that model. And it was a model I wanted, you know, and it was like, I can remember the thoughts in my mind right now. And it's like, and I did. I went and nicked something to give my mum and paid the money to go and make myself feel better by buying a model. And I was like, and I, you know, God showed me all sorts of things in my life to do with all of these different trading floors and how they work. But they all center in to actually trying to meet a need. So the whole thing of exaggeration is a big one. You know, information is a big one. You know, I found myself talking to someone. It's actually, it's like we went, when we went to Dudley, and we went and we sat talking to Dudley, and we were talking about stuff, and I was talking about some of the heavenly encounter stuff. And God sort of stopped and said, well, why are you actually saying that? I thought, well, because actually, do you want to him to think better of you because of all the encounters you're having? And I suddenly thought, oh man, so I just shut up and let him ask questions. I didn't say any more because I thought, I don't want to go there. Why am I interested in what he thinks about me? It's actually what God thinks about me that matters. And so I found, oh, yeah, my motive wasn't right there. And so I soon stopped it because I had my conscience kicked in and God spoke to me through it. But it's just loads and loads of things where all our motives of our hearts, God will start to expose. You know, all the things I'm doing for recognition, all the things I'm doing for position, all the things I'm doing that make me feel better, but actually they're Satan giving me those things, not God. Because they all come through me. It's all about me, not God. Selfishness, all of it is about negative trading. And, you know, security. Or if I've got money, then I feel secure. Yeah, but God's asking me to give. Well, yeah, but I can't give because if I give, I won't have enough. Anytime I say I've not got enough, I'm negatively trading because I'm saying God is not my provider and he can't provide. You know, and it's like, and it's the thoughts that come. And when we sort of go down that route, it ends up just trapping us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we just need to repent. Now, how do we deal with it? What I found for me, you know, I went through the whole list of things, you know, and some of it was just like, some of it is not what I'm doing now because I'm sort of not ruling that way, but actually the root's still there. And I'm not doing it because I know it's wrong, but actually the root's still there. And sometimes you catch yourself doing something unawares at a weak moment or a time when you need, you know, because that's when the enemy offers you something. In terms of men with pornography, it's not when they're having a wonderful time with their wife and everything else. It's when they've fallen out that they'll offer, oh, have a quick glance of this. Oh, you're flicking through the TV. Ooh. And all of a sudden, your image is caught and you go down a route to something because it offers you something. Well, that'll make you feel better. Well, your wife, isn't she nasty to you? And you get thoughts and it's actually, all it does is actually make you feel dirty and cheap. But the reality is, it's nothing to do with the wife. It's to do with you wanting to feel better. And it's something you're offered temporarily because it traps you in that whole image. And there's lots of things like that. So when I recognized it, what I did, I used to go to the courts in heaven and I would go there and I would say, right, I am guilty. I stand my accuser, that trading floor, what Satan has done, and I stand accused and I receive that and I judge that and I'm being judged by it. I repent and renounce behaving that way, but I release the judgment of God against that whole method and way of thinking and everything else. So I divorce myself from it. I get divorce papers. I separate myself from it. And in separating myself from it, then I can come back from that realm and then activate the fear of the Lord and reverence through my spirit gates to activate my conscience to protect me and warn me against thinking that way again. So that for me, that's how I did it. So repentance, renunciation, receiving God's judgment and receiving righteousness. Because when I say I'm guilty, he says, no, you're not. This is covered by the blood of Jesus. So that covers me and then gives me authority to say no. And to recognize it and have authority over it from that realm. Because it's like that's where the kingdom of God's realm of authority is over my life then. It's like a canopy, a covering. Because I've come and judged myself according to the word of God. Because I'm covered by his word and his love. So I don't come in fear, but I come and own it. I've learned to really accept things. If anyone says anything negative to me, I can be defensive. I can fight against that. I can justify myself and say I'm not like that. But actually, I think there's no smoke without fire most of the time. So I'm willing to go into the heavens and say, right, I'm not going to give that a fight. I'm going to fight with that. I'm going to accept it. If it's anything in me, God, of any bit of that, please judge me. Show me, separate me from it. Give me the authority and power to not do that anymore. So I use the judicial system of heaven to free me and give me authority over the things. And particularly, if I haven't done it, my seed line are guaranteed to have done it somewhere, which means things can be visited on the sins of the third and fourth generation. So actually there's access into me. Now, I might not have done it myself, but actually I don't want anything there that could make me do those things. And most times, yeah, sometimes people can be really critical and really horrible, but you've got to be willing to say, yeah, I agree quickly with my adversary, which is what Jesus said. Paul said, I agree quickly with your adversary. Don't argue. You know, I used to argue. No, that's not me. I'm not like that. No, I am like that. And if I'm not like it, I have the potential to be like it. So I'm not going to be like that. So I accept that way of thinking. So you have to be really ruthlessly honest with yourself. And it's not nice. Some of the stuff that I looked at this stuff and it's like God showed me was like, is that my motives? Is that what I'm like? You know, and it's like, well, no, I'm not really like that. Well, yes, you are. You know, actually, yeah, you potential to do all that. And, you know, even withholding information from people can be wrongly traded. Why don't you want to tell them? Because if they know, they'll be the same as me. And they want, you know, I'll be better than them because I know more than them. And it's like, there's all sorts of things that just, you know, it's just stuff that it just has operated in our lives because we've had to meet our own needs apart from God. If we weren't a Christian, what choice did we have but to meet our own needs? Because we need affirmation and love and acceptance, otherwise we die. You know, we die inside if we haven't got those things. So we're desperately in need of them, but the enemy will always offer us another way, a counterfeit way of getting it. And that's what to look out for. Anything that we have to do ourselves to achieve feeling good about ourselves, feeling nice. When I was growing up as a teenager, I had a real problem with growing up with my dad, because my dad never gave me any affirmation or encouragement. He never told me he loved me. There was no affection, nothing. So when I got to a teenage years, it's like I was empty of all the stuff he should have given me. So for me, in my teenage years, it was like, well, what makes you feel better? Girls. So I chased after girls my whole teenage years, just chased after them. And it's like, I didn't really want any relationship with them other than it felt good when I was at a girlfriend. So I was never without a girlfriend. And it's like, it screwed me up. Because bottom line is, every time you get into a relationship with nigga, you get hurt, you get emotionally damaged. It's like I made inner vows not to be hurt. It's like it wrecked me for about 20 years. Simply because I didn't know how to deal with the lack of affirmation I got with my father. So I fanged an offer of affirmation. And that affirmation made me feel temporarily better. And I knew if I didn't have a girlfriend, I wouldn't feel very good. So I chased after everybody to make sure I had one. And I got so messed up by it. And it did. When I got married, it's like, you know, I was so closed emotionally because I got hurt by all these relationships. And I hurt people as well, that I was really guarded. And it was like, yeah, I'm in a relationship, but actually, it's not conscious. You know, it's not a conscious thing. It's just the things that go on subconsciously very often. You know, if I thought I was doing that, I wouldn't have done it. But I didn't know I was doing it. You know, and the consequences were severe for me in terms of emotionally, because I got hurt in one relationship and I vowed, I can remember vowing, going home on the bus, I will never be hurt like that again. And for the next, I don't know, 17 years, I was not hurt like that again. And emotionally, I was really close because, you know, that protected me. And so there's lots of different things in that, you know.
Why did you go back to the courtroom?
Yeah.
You seem to have given several stages, and I'm not sure.
All right. I will make sure I do the court thing tonight, because I think it's a really important one to get hold of. Oh, I can't remember what it is. Hang on, let me see. There's Tyre, Athaliah, Jezebel, Leviathan, Delilah, Apollyon, Cain. Cain. Cain is the other trading floor. Cain is about murder. Now, murder is not physically necessarily committing murder. Jesus said, if you've got anger in your heart towards someone. So Cain is where you would speak negative words about someone and assassinate someone's character to make yourself feel better about yourself. It can be loads of things like that around the whole issue of feeling better by putting someone else down, or I'm better because they're worse. It's almost like, oh, they're in sin, so actually I rejoice in it because actually that makes me feel better because they're not as bad. You know, they're worse than me. And it's just, it's horrible, that one. And it's like, you know, I've got a whole load of examples. Trouble is, it's like, I've gone through this and dealt with the stuff and now I don't really want to remember it. You know, it's like, you know, but I know I have to teach it. So, you know, I wrote the notes down on it. You know, I mean, I can let you have the notes, but I'm going to do it on Sunday. So, you know, if you want to listen to it on the website, it'll be downloaded as a free podcast on the front page of the thing. But what I've actually found, the reason that I'm susceptible and we're all susceptible for the negative trading is because of the holes of things we've got missing in our lives, because we've not got those things from our relationship with God fully, because we've not been intimate with Him to really know that we're loved and accepted and approved of in that stuff. And it's like, the problem is we have therefore a trading floor in our own hearts that makes us susceptible. And the illustration of this comes from Nehemiah 13 with Tobiah. Tobiah was an Ammonite, I think. And it's basically, Nehemiah said, no Ammonites and Moabites can be in the presence of God's assembly. But the priest gave his daughter to Tobiah for position, and he gave him an actual room in the temple of God. So not only was Tobiah not supposed to be in the presence of any of the assembly, this priest gave him that in his own thing. So he made an unholy alliance, if you like, with Tobiah, and gave his daughter, so traded his daughter for position and favor, and then gave him a room in the temple. That room was the room where the tithes and the grain offerings and the offerings for the musicians and for the priests were supposed to come. So in a sense, what it's saying, if we've got that in our heart, then we will need to fill that with the things from ourselves and from what the enemy will give, rather than it being filled with the things that come from God and God filling our hearts with His things. So if you got that there, that's the foundation of why we're trading. So you have to deal with that. And basically it's the same thing. I repent. I repent of actually seeking to meet my needs through my own means and through negative trading that Satan gives me things to do it. You know, and just it was, you know, it was horrible stuff. It really was. But I'm too honest. Actually, I don't want to be that way. That's not my destiny. It's not how God sees me. So I need to recognize that and see Him free me, separate me from it. I then have focus. Then the thoughts and intentions of my heart are separated. I know where they're coming from now. So I can look out for them. I'm aware of it. You know? So it's a little bit like that. And personally, you'll maybe find your own trading floors, the own areas where you are susceptible. And it may be completely different from the things for me, but there will be things that you've used to meet your own needs. You know, and they're not nice things, but God loves us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because that enables us then to access further into the realms of heaven, because we've got pure hearts. The pure in heart will see God.